Well, the laughter is over, and the crying has begun. This is the news, according to me. Oh, good morning. Good Tuesday morning to you. This is Tuesday, January 10th, 8:54 a.m. Central Time. It is almost 10 o'clock Eastern Time. This evening working schedule is starting to affect my ability to rise up early, which is, it's a problem. It's a problem in and of itself, but I digress on that one. We have a lot going on in the world today, but there's a lot going on right now in the world of my cup. I have this morning I have chai. My chai from home with my Cinnabon creamer, which is always a wonderful thing. So I have, it's almost like, every time I take a sip, it's almost like being at home, but not being at home. I am in a hotel room in Appleton, Wisconsin. It was actually warm enough today. It was over 30 degrees. I don't like to run outside when it's below 30. I just have this rule. Yesterday morning, it was 20 degrees, and I just was not going to get out there and run because you freeze your ears off. Even with a hat on, it just, your blood does not circulate to certain parts of your body, your extremities as much when you're running, and that can be a problem. You don't notice it. You won't notice that you're actually, some of your extremities are getting cold. All the blood is flowing through your legs and, you know, the active parts of your body, and then your blood's flowing fine, but you don't realize how much some of your extremities sometimes can get really cold if you're not careful. And I don't jog, I run, so I don't go very far because I'm not a distance jogger. I'm a sprinter. I can't stand jogging. I just can't stand it. I just feel like I'm pounding on, I might as well just stand up, jump up and down on the pavement. I just feel like I'm just pounding my body into the pavement. Just hit my feet with a sledgehammer, why don't you? I like to run because I feel like I'm going forward, and I'm not just pounding my spine all the time. I don't have any back problems, but I want to keep it that way. So I usually sprint for as far as I can go. I just sprint. I run as fast as I can, as far as I can, until I just can't run anymore. And then I stop and I walk fast until I've recovered. Which is, it's the longer I've been doing this, I just started doing this again in the last 6 months to a year. And I've noticed that I definitely go a lot further. In fact, I'm going so much further now, it's like I'm almost bored. I'm running as fast as I can. And it's getting to the point where now my legs are getting tired, actually, before I start getting too winded, which is a good thing. Of course, part of that has to do with I do take a few supplements that are, I think, are helping. It's not so much that you can't get supplements from your diet. I totally agree with getting, you know, most of your vitamins and minerals and all that kind of stuff from a normal good diet. The problem is when I'm traveling, it's very, very hard to keep consistent good diet that way. So I think that having the vitamins, and I don't go overboard with them. I make sure that I've got a constant stream of the proper vitamins, the good kind of vitamins that are like a naturally sourced and that kind of thing. So your body can actually absorb them. And I don't go overboard with that stuff. I think that just having the vitamins and minerals there in at least a consistent quantity on a consistent basis, rather than having, you know, getting all your vitamins one day and the next day you don't get any, and the next day you get, you know, overload of something, and then I think just having that consistent ability to have them in your system all the time, I think helps on a regular basis to have, that's my theory on it. And it seems to be, I seem to be noticing a difference in performance as far as my ability to recover from running and working out. I'm not as sore. Usually 2 days after I work out, I'm just, you know, if I do a lot of heavy lifting or do something different in the gym, I'm usually feeling it a couple days later. That seems to be very much, a lot less of the issue anymore. I don't have the recovery issues I used to have. My joints don't seem to be in pain as much at all. I don't have, not that I really had much joint pain at all. I did have some problems with a hamstring issue. I was having, it almost made me limp the way it was hurting. That seems to have gone away. I had some skin issues, actually. A couple of skin things that I actually even asked a doctor about, that I was kind of concerned about. And those have gone away completely over the last few months. So it's been an interesting blend of things. And I think that helps overall. It helps me to, I can work out harder now. You know, not extreme harder. I don't do, you know, I'll do P90X or whatever that stuff is. But I do feel better. And I feel like I can recover better. I feel like I enjoy the workout more. And I don't, you know, I mean, laying in bed, if I could choose between laying in bed and doing a workout and still, you know, feeling the way I feel, I would just lay in bed. But I know that I'll feel better if I get out there and do something and get some exercise. A lot of the work that I do is very sedentary. Now, sometimes when I'm traveling, obviously, if I know I'm going to be traveling all day and doing a couple different legs because I have to go from, you know, I have to do a hub and spoke type thing, you know, two or three flights, dragging all my bags around and doing all that stuff, I typically will not always work out on those days. I don't work out as hard. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But it's because I know that I'm going to get my workout in the airports that I you know, walk 10 miles through. So that is one thing that I kind of back off on a little bit. However, I have noticed that I'm not as nearly as tired walking around with my bags. In fact, I don't know if it's just me or if it's I don't know what it is. People just don't walk fast anymore. I'm amazed at how. I mean, I'm dragging a roller bag, a backpack, and another bag on my stuff all the time. I usually have three bags. They've got to weigh close to 50 pounds. I mean, it's my backpack alone weighs 20 pounds. My bigger bag probably weighs, I'm well over 50 pounds. It's got to be close to 75, maybe 100 pounds. I don't know. It's ridiculous. And, you know, I've got 5 days worth of clothes in there usually, and plus all my stuff for, you know, my microphones and in fact, this morning I'm working with my iPad hooked up to a special microphone. This is a pretty good setup, actually. Probably one of the better setups. If I could manage my podcast posting with this system, I would just do it this way all the time. It's so convenient. But anyway, walking through the airports, I have it's inevitable. I will walk up behind people, and they're a lot of times. Of course, now everybody has these little 4-wheel bags that they roll instead of just a 2-wheel bag. I have a 2-wheel bag. I roll it behind me like a semi truck. Trailer type thing. And so I don't have a very big footprint going down through the hallway. Now, these people with the 4-wheel bags, they put them off to their side and they hold them about as far away from themselves as they can. And they just roll them alongside of themselves. And they walk about a half a mile an hour. And they're just strolling along like they've got no place to go. And you get two of those people who are walking together or just, you know, happen to be walking beside each other. And they take up the entire terminal, you know, over half the width of the terminal. And you're coming up on them, and you're like, something's got to happen here, because I'm coming up on you like, you know, 30 miles an hour, and you're going one. And there's traffic coming the other way that I'm going to have to weave my way through. So it gets real interesting. I have a tendency to have to slow down a lot and wonder why are we barely, I feel like I'm going backwards. It's very rare in a terminal. I very rare for me, unless I'm stuck behind somebody, for anybody to pass me. Now, this shouldn't be. I'm a man who's over 60 years old, and I'm getting behind some of these people who are young. They look like athletes. Most of them have their pajamas on. I don't know. People travel in pajamas now, I guess, for some reason. I don't know what that's all about. Or they'll be in their jogging shorts, and they got all their athletic gear on, their running shoes. And they're walking 1 mile an hour. Maybe they've got a nice long connection. I don't know. All I know is walking slow. It's why are you taking a jet? If you got that much time to kill, get in your car or just walk or take your bike. You know, take a bike from Chicago to Oklahoma City. If you got that much time to kill, you're getting on the fastest known transportation system known to man right now. Why do you need to do that if you have all this time to kill? I'm just saying. I think you should be able to walk faster than that. I usually like to walk up behind them and say, "Hey, folks, you know your flight's leaving early. Your flight's getting ready to close right now. You might want to get back to that flight." I should do that sometime. Probably get in trouble for that. They probably look at me like, you know, they probably know better than that. I don't know. I don't know. Now, today, I can cough off to the side, and it's not so bad, because I'm not wearing my microphone. I'll talk about that a little bit. This morning, I'm using my iPad. The iPad is a pretty remarkable little device, actually. I have an ability to plug into the iPad with an adapter that I can plug in my diaphragm microphone here. I've got it's not just a cheapy microphone. It's a regular good old microphone. It also has a USB C plug that comes out of it. Now my iPad is an older iPad. It's an iPad Pro, but it doesn't have a USB C connector on the bottom of it, so I can't plug directly into the iPad. I have this adapter that I can plug into. The adapter also has a place where I can plug in a charging port. It has a little charging port, so I can charge my iPad while I'm plugged into the microphone. And it also, if I wanted to, I could actually plug in. Now, if I wanted to, I could plug in multiple of these microphones if I used another interface. There's another interface I could use that I could actually plug into, and I could have four microphones, still be using the iPad for the recording. And then what I can do is I can also plug in a headphone yet still to the iPad itself, and I can use my recording software in the iPad. It's really quite useful. Now, if I had my keyboard with me that I can also use Bluetooth-wise with the iPad, it's not as good for doing multiple things. Now, if I had a larger iPad, I've got the smaller iPad. It's not a mini, but it's the regular size iPad. My wife has that gigantic thing that's the size of a billboard. But I kind of wish I had one of those, because with that, I could actually do a split screen thing. You can do a split screen with the iPad, and then you can put up other things. So I could actually read off of like news reports, that kind of thing, while I'm doing it. Now, I can also do that with I could have my computer laptop here with me and do that. But if I got my laptop, I might as well just plug into that. However, that doesn't seem to work, be as hardy sometimes as my iPad is. And it's not quiet. My iPad has no fan in it, so it never makes any noises in the background, which is kind of nice. So I have a tendency to do, I don't use this as much as I should probably with the iPad. The only problem I have is getting the file then, once I've recorded on the iPad, to a system where I can use it and I can upload it to the server. I could do it, but it's easier just for me to take the file, email it to myself, and then I pull it off my computer and use my computer for doing all the management for the uploads. That just is a little bit easier. However, that iPad is I'm dependent on having good Wi-Fi to do that. Yesterday, that was a problem. In fact, you might have noticed last night's show, or yesterday morning's show, wasn't posted until last night. It was probably 9 or 10 o'clock by the time I actually posted last night's show. So this morning, I'm hopefully going to get this done before noon and get it out of here. The Wi-Fi seems to be working a little bit better this morning here at the hotel. So it is Wi-Fi dependent in that respect, and I have a data plan on my iPad so I can actually do things with it. But I digress. Let's talk about politics for a little bit. Let's talk about something different that I don't ever talk about, like politics. So politics, world of politics. So Kevin McCarthy has now taken over speakership of the House. Now, I'm sorry, but there's something I cannot stand about this guy, and it's going to drive me nuts for the next 2 years. If he's speaker for more than 2 years, I'm just going to move out of the country, because it really does bother me this much. If you listen to the way he talks when he's doing a speech, I challenge you, if you can, and I might just do that. I might side by side comparison a couple of speeches and see if you can determine who's speaking, whether it's Kevin McCarthy or Justin Trudeau from Canada. They talk the same. That this is the way they talk. When they make a speech, they do this. And then they talk about something else. And then they go on with some other kind of droning on with some other kind of speech. And then they do this. They have this cadence, and their voices themselves anyway are about the same. But when they actually have the same cadence, you'd think these guys were twins separated at birth. Now, I don't know if it's just me that I notice this kind of stuff, because I have a tendency to be extremely sensitive to vocal quality and tonal qualities. I always have been. However, since I've gotten into the voiceover market, I do voiceover stuff. Since I've done that, and I'm constantly kind of bathed in the editing and the processing and all that other kind of stuff that happens, I have a real, I think I have an oversensitivity maybe to catching edits in certain, like I'll listen to a television commercial and I'm hearing all the edits, I'm hearing all the different tones. I'm noticing things like this one commercial right now that goes on, there's this lady who's talking along and all of a sudden a man starts talking in the middle of a sentence. And obviously they had to find somebody else to do a re-edit on this thing, and the lady wasn't available for some reason, and they had to have it. They made a man do it. Making a woman do it would have been too obvious, and yet obvious that they were trying to cover it up. With a man doing it, they made it look intentional. They tried to make it look intentional. I know what they were doing, but I also know that that wasn't the plan originally. So I guarantee you that was a fix. I notice those kinds of things all the time. Sound quality, things in the background, tone, the frequencies that are in the room, that kind of thing, the sound treatments that they have in the room, all those kinds of things can drive me up the wall. There's a couple of YouTube videos I've tried to watch a couple times where the microphone, they are obviously using a microphone that was on the camera, and the room itself was very bouncy. There was just a whole lot of, this is like a shop video where some guy was doing a thing on working on a shop, basically, trying to work on a box opening or whatever it is, a tool. You know, they're talking about some kind of tool review of some kind, and he's talking about it, and it's just all you hear is the echo from this big building that they're in, and you can hear him okay. You can understand everything he's saying. Problem is there's just too much overtone, too many other things going on, and I can listen to it for about 5 minutes, and it just drives me nuts. Or people who have volume issues. You can barely hear them, and then their bumper music comes on, and it's blaring loud. And then they come back on another segment, and their voice is too loud. And then all of a sudden, they're quiet again. Can't hardly hear them. So you turn it up so you can hear them, and the next thing you know, bang, this music kicks in, and it's normalize it, folks. There's something called, it's a button push. It's literally, you just normalize the audio. And it normalizes everything, and it brings it all to a level that makes sense. The computer figures it out for you. But no, they don't do that. So, some of those kinds of things I'm very sensitive to. Now, I worked in sound enough where I used to do some music recording. I still do. Did some music recording and worked with soundboards and that kind of stuff a lot and worked with sound systems. And you start noticing frequencies in the room. Now, I know that as I'm getting older, I'm probably not picking up some of the frequencies I used to be able to pick up. And here's a fun fact for you. Sometimes when you're just, you know, sitting around when it's quiet or whatever, and all of a sudden you hear this like a high pitch ring in your ear, like you start hearing this little high pitch ring and it kind of fades out. It lasts for about a minute or so and then it fades out. That's a receptor burning out in your ear. Now, you've got thousands of them. But each one of those receptors picks up a different frequency. It is basically assigned to a certain frequency to react to a certain frequency tone. Yeah, tell me that was just an accident. Oh, it just evolved from an accident, from an amoeba. Yeah, sure it did. So, so this receptor is burning out. After a while, you know, enough of those receptors burn out. I mean, even though you got thousands of them, sooner or later, there are certain frequencies you're not going to be able to hear. Now, it's a well-known fact that kids in high school, kids I think under the age of 20, there are certain frequencies, high-pitched frequencies, they can hear that once you get over 20, like 25, 24, you can't hear those frequencies anymore. They did an experiment on in high schools where they had kids, they put these speakers out in the hallways. And they had these frequencies that they would transmit out in the hallway that would keep the kids from lingering and loitering in the hallway. They felt made them uncomfortable, and they would get out of the hallway and go to class. So they wouldn't mess around in the hallways for very long. They'd just get their stuff and go there. It was kind of designed to do, and it worked. Teachers couldn't hear it. Students could. But they didn't really know what they were hearing. All they knew was it's kind of annoying. It wasn't something that they could audibly, tangibly hear or that they were cognizant of. But it was enough to make them annoyed. Now, it's a well-known fact that your body will react. Like if your eyes are open and you're staring, and someone makes a loud noise, your pupils will automatically, your body will react in a way, and even though you think you're not reacting, if you're alive, your pupils will actually either dilate or, I'm not sure if they open up or close, they will react to a large, sharp sound because your body's reacting to that. Now, that's a normal thing. You can't, even though you don't may not look startled, you may think you're being perfectly still, your body will react. There are things that happen in your body to react to certain sounds that you can't control. They're not even cognizant of. Cognizant? However, no, I'm sorry. The only thing I don't have on this is a mute button so I can't clear my throat as I'm talking. And of course, creamy chai is not exactly the best thing for clearing your throat. As I take another swig of it. So, in fact, I already feel something clogging up in my throat right now, even after just taking that swig. So, these are all the things that happen with vocal, tonal, hearing loss issues. And I'm sure I'm experiencing some of that, so I'm not probably quite as sharp as I used to be as in catching frequencies in a room. However, I do know how to use a sound meter, and I can find where those frequencies are doing things and kind of fish around for... You know, a lot of good sound has to do with room treatment. You know, if the room itself is a mess, if you're getting all kinds of bounce and all kinds of weird frequencies and low end and high end rumble, then your microphone, you know, the better the microphone, the more it picks up all those bad things. It's actually even worse. So you have to really be able to tweak it. However, you can get the essence and better quality sound with a very good microphone. The more you can capture, in other words, the resolution more or less of the microphone itself is better. So, Kevin, why are you talking about all this stuff? Well, the reason I'm talking about all this stuff is because it has nothing to do with what I really want to talk about. Kevin McCarthy took the gavel, and apparently he's at it now. So they have passed this rules package, the way I understand it. Democrats were fighting against it all kinds of crazy. One of the things that they're going to do, now it's going to be interesting to see how this all works out. One of the things that they're going to do is establish a committee to go after some of the big government stuff, that the way that the government has been weaponized, basically, against the American people. One of the things that kind of bothers me about this is they're probably going to follow the House rules. And the reason that bothers me is because the Democrats did not follow the House rules. When the J6 committee was established, the commission or a committee or whatever it was, they were supposed, the rules simply say they're supposed to have five Republicans or five of the minority party, and it should be made up, I think, of 13 total. Five of those will be minority party. And so the minority party, the Republicans, submitted five names. And the J6 committee said, well, we're going to make it a smaller committee instead of the committee that size that it's supposed to be. So they made it a smaller committee. So therefore, we're only going to allow you to have two. So the Republicans chose two. Then the Democrat Party, Nancy Pelosi, said, well, we don't want those two. We're going to pick our own. So they picked Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney. Yeah. You know who the two that were supposed to be on that committee? Jim Jordan and Banks. I think it was Banks, I believe. From Ohio or Indiana. One of the two. Two guys that were bulldogs. Well, we don't want those two because they're insurrectionists. Now, come to find out, as this has been more and more, there's some interesting, speaking of the J6 committee, there's some more interesting emails that have been released. And I think we're going to see more of this as we see, they're going to call it a church-style committee, which is, it's basically a huge investigation. This is bigger than what the J6 commission was. Now, will they get anywhere with this? One of the things that they've done with this is they've said that it's not going to sunset. In other words, this committee will be valid until through the year of 2025. Now, what that means is for the next 2 years, they can keep this committee open, this commission can stay open. And if Merrick Garland decides not to do anything with it, if the Republicans take back the presidency in 2024, they will decide who the attorney general is, and they're going to start going after these people. Now, Adam Schiff, speaking of which, was directly involved. He was also on the committee, J6 committee. He was also directly involved in some of the censorship that was going on with Twitter. He directly told them to nix a few people's accounts. One of those people's accounts who were nixed, who were taken off of Twitter, is suing Adam Schiff. This is big deal. This begins a process that will hopefully open up some of the evidence that was going on behind the scenes. Now, also, one of the other things that was happening before January 6th, apparently Nancy Pelosi directly was telling some of the security concerns, people with security concerns, was telling them to basically reduce security that day. And there's some very damning things that were said in some of these emails that they're coming out with. Now, do you think the news media is going to report it? No. Here's the deal with the news media right now. A terrorist attack. Does everybody know about the terrorist attack that happened on our country recently? One man. Happens to be, his first name is Muhammad. Don't know what religion, faith he's from. I have no idea. But, you know, that's just his name. I don't know. Decided to take a car, an old junky car he'd had, drive it out to a solar array out in Las Vegas. It was a huge thing. It was, I think it was owned by the MGM Grand. They used this solar array. It was a very large system. It was worth millions and millions of dollars. And he went out and took his car, siphoned some gas out of the tank, lit his car on fire, and lit all the, basically parked his car underneath a bunch of these solar panels, lit the whole thing on fire under a control panel. And of course, it's going to take probably about 2 years for this thing to be repaired because of the parts and stuff that they have to have. So there you go. That was a terrorist attack. It was on the, and that system is hooked up to the nation's grid. It's a huge system. It's not just, doesn't just power their hotel itself. Now, have you heard the news media say anything about it at all? Anybody say anything about it? Other than alternative media, you're not going to hear about it at all. Yeah. Now, we want to talk about this MAGA crowd. Let's talk about this MAGA thing. You know, because they talk about the MAGA people as being insurrectionists and terrorists. Dan Crenshaw saying that people are terrorists. So if these people are MAGA, let's say like Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert, and some of these people are, they're claiming that they're ultra MAGA people. They're just ultra MAGA insurrectionists. Well, MAGA refers to Trump, right? That's a Trump thing. They're ultra Trump supporters. Well, if they're such Trump supporters and Trump calls up and says, vote for McCarthy, and they don't, is it really MAGA that they're supporting? Is it really Trump they're supporting? Are they just following his marching orders? See, they were trying to blame all this on Trump. And I personally think that's one of the reasons. Because Trump really had no influence in this. And him saying, go ahead and vote for McCarthy, takes him off the hook. And it also takes them off the hook. This is a pretty wise move on his part, or maybe it was someone else's idea. Because what it does is it alleviates him from the process and shows that they're not just following Trump's marching orders. So regardless of how you see that, in my opinion, I don't know whether it was planned this way or it just happened this way, that's the way I see it. It seems to have been a situation where it pretty much silences this idea that the media was starting to jump on all of a sudden, that it was just a MAGA Trump supporting thing. Excuse me. So I don't think it is. I just don't think it's happening. You know, it's more about the, you know, the rule of law, getting something done. In fact, Trey Gowdy, I wish I had the audio I could play for this, because it is, Trey Gowdy comes out on, I think it was on Fox News, and he's just, I tell you, I used to like, when Trey Gowdy was part of the Benghazi commission thing, I thought, man, this guy's really, he's on point, he's really going after this. And I really liked his style, I really liked the way he was doing things. Well, then it turns out that this whole thing was just nothing but a show, and there's people yelling at each other, and, you know, of course, Hillary Clinton, when she was under deposition, she was up there testifying. She acted so incredulous. She was just, when they started talking, she acted like she was just looking around the table, sipping her coffee, didn't care what they had to say.
At this point, what difference does it make?
But she's just up there doing her little thing, knowing full well that this committee had no power to do anything to her. They don't have prosecutorial power. She knew her way around this thing. First of all, she's been coached. Secondly, she was a lawyer at one time in Arkansas, of all places, where there's a lawyer mafia down there, basically. They were part of this whole thing. And so she was incredulous. She couldn't care less what they were going to throw at her, try to pin on her. It didn't matter. She knew that they couldn't do anything to her anyway. So then we had this whole thing ended with nothing. It was this big nothing burger, much like the Mueller report and all this other stuff that happened. Because nobody ever charged her with anything. The AG, the FBI, nobody did anything with her. Of course, at this point, the FBI is behind the scenes. We didn't know this at the time, but the FBI behind the scenes, I'm sure, was acting on her behalf. And I'm talking about the upper echelon at the FBI. So all this stuff is going on. Now we're going to have these new committees. But Trey Gowdy was asked about what was going on with the Congress. And he sounded like a little kid.
Why aren't they just doing this? And I don't know why about this.
He started getting really high-pitched, whiny kind of schoolgirl type stuff. And talking about how they should just go along with, to get along, go ahead and vote McCarthy in, they shouldn't be pushing back and all this stuff. And then Matt Gaetz was asked about this, and he said, well, Trey Gowdy's, you know, he should know, because, you know, he was calling it a clown show. And of course, Matt Gaetz said, well, he knows what a clown show is, because he was in charge of the Benghazi thing, and that turned out to be a clown show. Turned out to be a big nothing burger. He said, we're gonna go after somebody, we're going to go after him for real, and we're going to have accountability. There was no accountability at the end of the day, at the end of the Benghazi thing. And everybody knows what happened. Full well. What happened? We had a U.S. ambassador die, and a couple of Navy SEALs died. I don't know who else died in that whole process. She blamed it on a video. Had nothing to do with it. Had everything to do with the decision she made. But she blamed it on some guy's video. This crowd saw this video, and all of a sudden, they knew nothing of a video. Those people who attacked, you don't just happen to be walking down the street all upset about a video, and you happen to have grenade launchers, and it was a formal, organized attack. Had nothing to do with the video. But she kept that narrative going, because that's what they do. This whole thing, like I said, it's all political theater. It's always the theater. It's always the optics. It's always what they can pull over on the American people. It gets really, really old after a while. And I know that if there's not accountability in this life, there will be accountability in the next one. Unfortunately, there's a thing called repentance. And I hope and pray that they do repent and apologize before they stand before the one who's going to make the hammer fall. Actually, they're the ones who made the hammer fall. It's their decision that they've made. But that's the choices we're all faced with every day. So we have the rules. I guess the rules committee voted and they voted for all the rules that they were put into place. And for the most part, all these rules that they were holding out for to get changed, most of the party agrees on them. They think they're all good things. All to do with the count. So that was the big thing that they were trying to get McCarthy to go with. That was the big issue. And it was, they were big issues. So they were right in doing what they did. Judge Scalia, who's passed away, had some interesting comments. I wish I could play his little, I heard a little clip from him, talking about the gridlock in Washington. The founders intended for gridlock to be there because of the separation of powers. And part of that gridlock thing is the separation of powers is this whole deal with the J6 committee not abiding by their own rules. When that was challenged and taken to court, the court said the judicial branch cannot affect anything that the representative branch is doing. So they basically said it's separation of powers. We're not going to get involved in their house rules. They can do whatever they want over there. They can change the rules at whim, whatever they want to do. Now, it'll be interesting to see if the Republicans do the same thing in this committee. If they say, well, you know what, we're going to follow the precedents that you set in the J6 committee, and we're only going to allow you to choose two people, and then we're going to reject those two, and we're going to put in the two that we choose. A couple of Democrats that we choose. And you're only going to get two of them instead of, you know, a proportional amount. Do the same thing. That's the tit for tat that I would be inclined to do, but I know that probably wouldn't be the right thing to do. But something's got to be done to punish these people for what they did. And it's, of course, Adam Schiff was in the middle of that whole thing as well. He's got so many things he's going after right now. Who keeps electing this guy? He comes out every week saying that, you know, Trump is, you know, all the evidence to get Trump is right there. We've been told this for the last 6 years. It's a broken record with this guy. And he's always wrong. And he never admits that he's wrong. He just comes out with the next scandal. Now we find out that Biden has apparently been keeping classified documents in his closet. Locked in some kind of little storage room. And of course now the MSNBC people and all the people at CNN and MSNBC are saying, oh, this is nothing. This is a nothing burger. Oh, this is simple. These were just little papers that had nothing to do with anything. Are we going to see an FBI raid? Are we going to see the National Archive manager file, you know, go to the DOJ and ask for any kind of accountability to go after these papers? No, you see, this is one of the things that bother me more than anything else is double standards. I think it's the most hideous thing on earth. It ranks right up there, right below, I would say, right below molesting a child. That's how serious I think it is. People pull these kinds of things where they have these double standards, where they don't hold up to their own morality standards. They excuse themselves, but they do something else. And I think this is where child molesters, you know, how they're able to sleep at night because they don't see anything wrong with what they're doing, or they feel bad about it, but they do it again. I have no idea what's going through their heads. I know what should go through their head. So, recently there was a, speaking of things going through your head, recently there was a guy down in Texas apparently walked into a restaurant with a gun. Let's just say a gun. He's walking around at all the tables, all the little booths. He's walking up to all the tables. He has a gun in his hand, and he's robbing everybody, one after the other. He's asking for all their money. As he gets ready to walk out he's walking over towards another patron that was over close to the door, pointing his gun at them. One of the people that he just robbed pulls out his own gun and takes the man down. He's dead. And he emptied his clip on him. He's emptied his magazine on him. Now, come to find out, this gun was an airsoft gun. It wasn't a real gun. Have you seen some of the airsoft guns out there now? They are identical replicas. I don't care if the thing's made out of wood or plastic or metal or what it is. If it looks like a real gun and you're pointing at somebody, you have just written yourself off as, guess what? Your life is not that important. So, everybody on the left, all the anti-gun nuts, are out there saying, well, he shouldn't have, the last three bullets he shouldn't have fired. Okay. How do you know that the first five bullets did the job? You ask any police officer, I dare you to do this. Just try this. I'd like for all those people to walk into a police department with an airsoft gun and start pointing it around at police officers. See what happens to you. Are you telling me that those trained police officers are going to do something different than what this guy did? Well, he shot him in the back. Yeah, he shot him in the back because that was the first opportunity he had to take this guy out. And the guy was going after somebody else. And you have no idea whether this guy's going to start shooting everybody up after he gets all their money or not. There's no way you can know. There is a man with a gun. That's all you know. You don't know what kind of gun. You don't know if it's real or not. You don't know if it's got bullets in it or not. This man has made his decision to carry a gun around and threaten people with it and take their money. And guess what? That decision cost him his life. The man who shot him is a hero. Period. Full stop, as they say. They're trying to blame this guy, and they think he should be charged for murder. No, that's not the case. This is the problem with injustice and not understanding what justice is or fair rules of law. The perpetrators are excused all the time. This kind of stuff happens, and then we find out that, oh, this guy was wanted for something else, or he's already a violent offender somewhere else. It's just another one of those things the left tends to do. It just drives me up a wall. But I digress. I'm always up a wall somewhere. If it's not this wall, it's that wall over there. If it's not this wall, and sometimes I'm on the ceiling, which is, it's more like Spider-Man, actually. They call me Spidey sometimes. I'm always going up the wall. Because everything drives me up the wall. Except for my cup. One sip and I'm back down on the floor with my feet firmly planted. And then I go on to the next rant and I get up on the wall again. It's pretty amazing. It's good exercise. Well, folks, once again, thanks for listening to all my stories this morning. I will be posting this hopefully before noon Central Time. I'm sure possibly before noon Eastern Time. However, right now it's 10:37 Eastern Time, which means I need to get on the ball and get this thing done. So it all depends on how my internet is doing in the next 4 or 5 minutes. So I will try to get this thing posted out there because I know all of you are just hanging on by your fingernails. Wondering what's going to happen here with the show. Now, tomorrow morning, I will actually be able to have an earlier show because I'll have everything set up here for doing an earlier show. So I'm going to try to put some things together tonight. I won't be as busy tonight as I was the last couple of nights. First night, I think Sunday night and last night I was really busy. This evening will not be as busy. I don't have as much to do. I've got some things taken care of. So I should be able to get into bed earlier and get some show prep done actually tonight if I think about it, unless I go someplace to eat that's nicer than, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. So once again, thanks again for listening, folks. God bless. Make sure you pray for the nation, pray for the leaders of our nation, the leaders of our churches, and all those in politics and all those in parents, anybody who's in a leadership position, just pray for leaders in general. that we would be have our eyes open to who our real king is, who our real the leader of all leaders is, who we should be following. We live out the call and plan we have for on our lives properly. Once again, folks, God bless. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.